This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, so we're talking about overcoming discouragement, and I can't think of a more appropriate topic to address during some of these days that we've been going through. But I want to pick up where we left off last time in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and beginning of verse 5. You know, Paul experienced a lot of opposition in his ministry, a lot of discouragement, and there are many reasons for ministers to be discouraged. I'm talking about ministers that are really doing the work, doing the hard work. Some aren't. Some are cruising, but many people are giving their lives every day for their people because they love them very much and giving them Jesus in many, many ways, particularly in the way through teaching them the Word of God. And that's where Paul picks up in verse 5. He says, "For we do not preach ourselves." I wish so badly that every Christian could understand this principle, that presenting the gospel and teaching the Bible is not in order to gain a following. It's not for the purpose of getting people to like you. That is the furthest thing from the mission that God has called us to. Now, obviously, we want people to like our ministry. That's normal, but that's not the point. In fact, if you want people to like you, you could probably gather a little bit of a following doing that, but you would be doing exactly what Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 4, where he talked about people gathering around themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires to tickle their ears, basically, to tell you what you want to hear, to give you that warm feeling throughout your spirit, and just to get people like you. But that's preaching yourself. You're not preaching yourself. As a Christian, you're not sharing yourself. Yourself is not the point. Look what he says, "But we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake." You see, everything that is done in ministry is done as a service. It's a service-oriented thing. We serve people. Yes, we lead them, but we lead them by serving them and by sacrificing ourselves for their sake. I was in pastoral ministry for over 30 years. That's what it requires. You don't get a lot of your own desires met, but you do get to help others become like Jesus. And it requires a lot of sacrifice. And as a Christian who's in ministry, which you are in ministry, by the way, doesn't matter what you're doing vocationally, you're still in ministry. It's not about you. Your message is Jesus Christ. Verse 6, "For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." What he's saying is that our job is to reflect Christ to you. I want you to fall in love with Jesus, not fall in love with me. And you know, the whole Christian celebrity cult that's out there. Now, sometimes celebrity comes to people, they're not asking for it. Notoriety just comes to them because they have had quote-unquote success with their career, with their speaking or their writing ministry or teaching ministry or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But what happens is that we have to sometimes remind ourselves that our job is to reflect the glory of Christ, not to sell something with our name on it. So, I've told my wife this, I've told friends this before, I'll just tell you, I guess, that in the end, it doesn't matter if someone picks up one of my books and remembers who wrote that book about Noah, who wrote that book about the Antichrist, who wrote that book about America, who wrote that book about how to understand Bible prophecy. As long as you understand Bible prophecy, as long as you know about the Antichrist, as long as you understand about where America is, as long as you understand that we're in the days of Noah, that's what really matters. It's not about the person. And you know why? Because of what he says in the next verse. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Christ is the treasure. We are the earthen vessel. That the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. And what he's saying here is that when it's all said and done, that you will say about the ministry or about what you've done in someone else's life, they will say about you, not what a great you are, but what a great God you serve. And that is the point. That's the point of every sermon. It's the point of every song. It's the point of every book. It's the point of every podcast. That at the end of this thing, you go, wow, what a great God. Oh, what an amazing book the Bible is. And not to focus in on the person. Now, it's okay to say this person is a great writer, a great teacher, a great pastor, or a great singer. That's totally legit. But as long as in the end, the impact in the end is the glory of God. That's what he's saying. Now, what he's saying about these vessels is that sometimes a vessel has to be broken in order to find out what's inside it. And that's exactly what was going on in the Apostle Paul's life. I mean, if anybody would have been a Christian celebrity, it'd have been him. I mean, I interviewed the other day Dr. Ron Rhodes on our Prophecy Pros podcast. The guy's written over 60 books. I'm only halfway there, and there's not enough time in my life left to reach where he is. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and he is world famous, and he's eternally famous for that. But God did not let Paul become proud. In fact, over in chapter 12, God sends a thorn in the flesh to keep Paul humble because God had actually taken Paul to heaven and shown him some things and told him some things. And Paul was forbidden to speak about what he was shown in heaven. And just to ensure that he wouldn't, as we say, get the big head and walk around going, hey, how many here has been to heaven? Oh, just me? Oh, I'm sorry for you guys. I mean, so that Paul wouldn't say that, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that is. We don't know if it's some sort of physical ailment. We don't know if it was a person that was just constantly after him, but it was a thorn. And you know what it's like to have a thorn. You get a thorn, it's just a tiny little splinter in your finger, and it festers, and it can be very, very painful. And God gave Paul a thorn. And the reason he gave him that was so that he would remain humble. But another reason that Paul stayed humble was because of everything that he went through for the cause of Christ. If anybody had a reason to say, you know, when I signed up for this thing, I didn't really think it was going to be this difficult. But the more risk that Paul took, the more sacrifices that Paul made, the more he found out that this Christianity thing really does cost you. Not every day in every way, but sometimes in severe ways. And many times it's because you are taking that bold step for God. But look at what he says here in verse 8. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not despairing. Perplexed. Yeah, the Apostle Paul was perplexed. The Apostle Paul didn't understand why God was allowing certain things to happen, because they seem to be counterproductive, you know? It's like, well, God, if you just make me more successful or give me more money or make me prettier or make me stronger or make me have a better speaking presence or give me all this other stuff, think of what I could do for you. And, you know, sometimes God chooses not to use those that he's given great giftings to as much as he does the ones that he's just given a little bit of gifting to, and yet that person is faithful with what they have. I love these words that Paul chooses, and Paul was a master wordsmith, by the way. I mean, not only intellectually and theologically, but spiritually, because he had the actual Holy Spirit speaking through him as he wrote these words. Listen to this, in this word here. He says, we're afflicted. This word afflicted means to be under incredible pressure, means to be suffering under a whole lot of stress. It's like we would call it like being in a vice grip. And it was a word that was used in New Testament times to refer to like a wine press, how the wine press would just press down on the grapes. Have you ever been in that situation where you're just under an incredible amount of stress, not because of just life, but because of your Christianity, your faith? He says, we're under this pressure, we're afflicted, but we are not crushed like those grapes. Why? Because of the treasure that lives within us. He says, we are perplexed. And that word perplexed means confused. It means disoriented. It means feeling like you're without hope, or feeling like there's no way out, feeling like you're hemmed in, or you're painted yourself into a corner. You just feel like, I don't know what else to do. I'm confused. I need direction. I felt like that, Paul says. But he said, even then, we are not despaired. We do not lose our heart during those times. He says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. That word persecuted is a Greek word that referred to an animal hunting its prey. So it's like an animal being hunted. Paul says, that's what persecution is. It's hunting season on Christians. And I'm the chief prey that they're hunting. He says, we are persecuted but not forsaken. He says, we are struck down but not destroyed. That phrase struck down means to be wounded. In Paul's life, he was wounded. He was stoned by stones. He was drugged through the streets. He was beaten with rods. In fact, you want to know just a little bit of what Paul suffered for the gospel? Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's basically saying, you know, these Judaizers, these people who are these false teachers that are coming in, that are claiming to be all that, he's like, look, they think they're a Hebrew. I'm Captain Hebrew here, okay? Read about that over in Philippians chapter 3. But listen to this. He says, are they servants of Christ? This is chapter 11, verse 23. He says, yeah, right. Watch this. He says, I more so am a servant of Christ in far more labors than them, far more imprisonments, beaten times without number. How many times have you been beaten in your life for the cause of Christ? Let me think. Zero. I've never been beaten because of my faith. I've had rocks thrown at me. I've been driven out of towns, but I've never been beaten for the cause of Christ. He says, I've been beaten times without number, often in danger of death. I've only feared for my life a couple of times. Often, Paul says. Then he says, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. He didn't just get beat with a whip once or twice, but 5 times. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. These rods were these birch sticks. We call them like billy clubs, okay? And 3 times, he was beaten by the Romans by those rods. Once I was stoned and drug out of the city. Left for dead, by the way. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 3 times. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. He treaded water for a whole night and a whole day. I mean, I don't know if he was floating on a log or if he was just treading water, but he's still out in the ocean, doesn't know what's going to happen to him. We're out in the Mediterranean, by the way. He says, I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. That's enough, right? No, it goes on. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights. I've been in hunger and I've been in thirst, often without food. Those perhaps were the times when some of the churches didn't come through in supporting Paul's ministry. I've been in cold and I've been an exposure. And apart from all these things, these external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. But then he goes on to say, if I am to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my weakness. In other words, there's nothing about me that can survive. How in the world did Paul live through all those things? Not only how did he not survive, how did he not quit? You know, Mark, when Paul took Mark on a missionary journey, he went home because he couldn't take it anymore. Paul just persevered through all of these things. It would have taken maybe one of those things, and I would have had to take, I would just call it like a sabbatical or something, a prayer retreat, a hiatus, a vacation, some time off. But Paul said, no, we kept on going. And he knew, and even says this in Acts, he says, I know that persecution awaits me in the next city, but I'm going to go anyway. Those were some of the things that Paul was going through. And yet it says in verse 10, back in chapter 4, I'm always carrying about in the body, in my body, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in my body. In other words, he's saying, hey, look, the purpose of my suffering is to demonstrate Christ to others. The purpose of suffering for the cause of Christ in this world only produces the glistening diamond of Christ's likeness in our character. And Paul says, guys, I'm living proof. I'm the least likely candidate to be doing what I'm doing. But God, through my suffering and through all the things that we've gone through, and he didn't have time to mention them all those things are producing an eternal weight of glory, as we'll see in the next podcast. But watch this. Verse 11. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us. We're experiencing death. But life, you get the benefit of life. You know, as I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, the thing that strikes me most is that he knew that there's no way that if he just simply chose to do this as a career or whatever, that at some point he would choose not to. Because if it's just our choice to follow Christ or to do ministry in some way, then at some point we're going to realize that the pay and the sacrifice doesn't really equal out. I mean, when you do the math at the amount of time you give and the amount of energy and the life energy that you give when you minister to others, and you try to weigh that in dollars and cents, we're way below minimum wage here, okay? And so what Paul is saying is that the reason I continue is because there's something greater than earthly reward going on here. What's happening is that there's a treasure inside me. And the beauty of the diamond is made more so by the backdrop of the black velvet. And that's what he's saying. My life and my weakness and my frailty, my humanity, is simply the black background upon which the diamond of Jesus shows in my life. And we ought to look at the Apostle Paul as one of those shining examples of a guy who just never gave up. Did he have reason to be discouraged? Oh, thousands of times over. Did he have reason to quit, to turn in his Bible and just say, I'm going to go sell insurance? Yeah, he could have done that. But he didn't. He persevered all the way to the end. And in this context, he did it for a group of people that I dare say hardly ever said thank you. And that, my friends, is a perspective on why we should not be discouraged. Because we have the treasure of Christ in earthen vessels, and because of the treasure and the power that resides in us, knowing that whatever we go through, it simply becomes another opportunity, another open door to express the beauty and the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ and the worthiness of Jesus Christ to a world that has no idea what to live for. And you get to do that every time you go through hard times for Christ. That's another reason why you shouldn't be discouraged. Next time, we're going to continue and find out some more reasons why Paul did not succumb to discouragement on the Vintage Truth Podcast. I hope you'll join me. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.